Hey guys, before we start this episode, I just wanted to say there's some sound debacles there. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. God bless you.
Take a Ride Podcast. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on my Twitter handle. It's at Starks_industry. You can also find me on Instagram, JesusChristFollower_. I'm not here alone this morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in the fantasy world. I have the wingman running the three, LT the stage. How you doing today,
brother? Hey, what's good, y'all? What's good? Ready to go over some juicy fantasy details for you guys today, and should be a good one.
And I got someone that's coming back on the podcast, Rod here, running the four. He's going to be like the plotter on the team. How you doing today, Rod?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great this morning, man. How y'all doing, fellas?
Good. So in this episode, what we're going to talk about is obviously, you know, it's jam-packed episode with news that's happened with injuries. And, you know, we'll talk about some, you know, dynasty players that our logic is and what the future looks like. But before we do that, if you guys haven't done it already, make sure that you check out newlifefantasy.com. Join the mailing list. Join as a member for free. It helps our site to continue to grow. Make sure you subscribe to Take a Ride Podcast. Review it if you have iTunes. And if we're pretty much available on all podcast formats, so it helps us in all the way. So make sure you do that. If you guys are interested to be a contributor, not only do we talk about fantasy basketball, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, but we share the faith of Jesus Christ on there too. So take a look at it. We just signed someone to be a contributor on the baseball side. So he just dropped an article. This guy's name is Joey, and it's a legit article talking about the old vet. So you guys should check that out. So with that being said, on the baseball, which it was a little bit on Josh Donaldson for those that do fantasy baseball, which some of us do on New Life as well. But with that said, not to put you guys to sleep with it, we'll get right into the basketball content. So I'm ready to take people on for a ride. LT, I'll pass you the ball to go ahead and run that offense, man.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be touching up on some injuries for sure. I'm going to scroll down this injury list. But the first thing I was going to bring up to the boys was the KD game yesterday. So KD, I guess he started the game, played like, I don't know, like 17, I don't know how long he played, but he played. And then the NBA came down and took him out, told him to take him out of the game, like midway through it. So I wanted to ask you guys if you guys are worried at all about this kind of behavior from the NBA with COVID and everything else. What do you guys think about that you saw last night? Start. You can go, Rob.
Honestly, I think it's a mess. I know that the NBA is doing the best that they can do. You know, given the current environment with COVID and everything, I don't think it makes sense to really take him out, especially after he's been out there, you know, a couple of quarters already. I'm of the perspective that essentially whatever damage is done is probably already done at that point. I hate to look at it like that, but I mean, he's already been out there, and like I think it's hilarious that like they get to the sideline and like wear face masks. Like, we're past the point of face mask if we're playing the game and, you know, you guys are coaching the huddle and, you know, but with that being said, I do think the NBA is doing the best that they can. It looks chaotic. I mean, cause it is, I mean, it's a mess. I mean, there looks like they're winging it, but essentially it's really doing the best that they could do, honestly. I mean, I feel like they have enough resources to have known if there was a negative or a positive test, like prior to the game, though. Like, you know, I don't understand how he gets in the lineup with a positive test if that was the case. So, I mean, they have some explaining to do, but yeah, I mean, it's just the environment that we're in. It's crazy, but you don't see this like with the NFL or anything like that, where they're, you know, pulling people like mid-game. So, I mean, they're gonna have to explain that, but it's just crazy. And I'll be glad when COVID is over.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Man. Me too. What you think, Starks?
I, you know, he tweeted free me, right? KD did. here's the thing that's a little odd. You know, I mean, how I look at it is, it for the NBA protocol, I know it's essentially a mess. You know, he didn't start the game, so you're like, all right, cool. He still has the opportunity to come in the game. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, fantasy GMs like myself, because I have him on my team in the I was like, all right, that's cool. But then he gets taken out, right? But here's the issue that I kind of run into is if Durant tested negative 3 times within the past 24 hours, why is this such a massive issue at this point in time? And that's where that kind of grinds my gears. It would be a little bit different if it was a sure an unsure thing, but obviously the NBA thought it was an unsure thing and they made it seem like it was safe. But I mean, to be honest with you, how is it safe if you felt it was unsafe in the first place? Why even allow him to play in that game in the first place is my question. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That it is a big mess. There is a potential that he could be out a few games, and I'm assuming he's going to be out for today's game. Whenever you guys, whoever listens to this episode, but yeah, as far as KD, hopefully, like, I don't know. There's going to be more information that formulates. You know, what's your thoughts, LT?
My main thoughts is that my man KD, man, you need to chill out. He's been COVID tested. It's been a couple of times. He was out for a while because of COVID and, you know, health and safety protocols. So it's like, man, what is my man KD? They after my man KD. But to Rod's point, man, this is a contact sport. Man. And all of these sports are contact sports. There is some form of contact that is going to occur. And the only thing you can really control is the before and after games. But once you're in the game, I mean, it is what it is. There's no way to really get around it because we're playing, you know, they're going to be within six feet. So yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried because this could happen to, this isn't just a KD thing. It could happen to any of our fantasy players, any players in general in the middle of games. They could start trying to pull people if they're not sure. And that's going to cause so much confusion, so many, you know, DMPs. So it's going to, hopefully it doesn't get to that point. I'm glad it happened to a high profile player like KD so they can, you know, kind of nip this in the bud as soon as possible. But that's my thoughts. Any other lasting thoughts on that, fellas?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, for those that a lot of people in the industry felt like KD was going to be potentially, I wouldn't say, well, they did kind of say that he was a bust. Obviously, me and ULT didn't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. It was, and the reason why that, you know, the industry considered him a bust in fantasy is because of the risk factor, right? Is there still a risk factor? Yes. But here's the logic real quick in the NBA. Coming into these drafts, we should have had the logic of thinking at any time other than injuries with this pandemic, anybody is subject to get hit with COVID, right? So that's the logic of it. And there, as we've been seeing, the quarantining, you know, we can talk about Jason Tatum. There's so many players we could talk about that either, you know, contract tracing or they even received it. So this is just going to be one of those years. It's going to be tough for all fantasy coaches in any type of format. There's no way to dig around it. I know a lot of people are getting very upset in the fantasy community, but if you play fantasy basketball, if you signed up for it this year, you should have expected this. And then for those that are new and you know, upset, you know, I'm sorry, but this is what you signed up for, and you should have been prepared for it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Like I said, this is my first season playing fantasy basketball, but I've played fantasy football many years previously, and just unexpected things happen, you know. There's a lot of things you just can't account for. You know, there's plenty of times I've had, you know, like, for example, like Aaron Rodgers, and, like, this is, like, before Devontae Adams, when he had receivers that I couldn't even name, like, receivers go down, backfield goes down, you know, it's just like, you just can't account for those variables. But I mean, obviously, with that being in, you know, a thought in my head, like, okay, you got to account for COVID, but I just drafted the best player available and let the chips fall when they may. Like, that's how I looked at it, like, you know. Yeah. Like, if Harden gets caught, you know, outside of the bubble, or just avoiding, you know, breaking, which I think is part of the reason he fell to 7 anyway, that, you know, I'll just take that chance. At the end of the day, I got to just draft the best player available.
Yeah, no, that's a good strategy. And yeah, Harden at 7, you got to take, man, no matter what's going on, man. You got to take the Harden at 7 for sure. But in the next step here, we got, I was going to talk about some injuries. First guy I'm going to talk about is our guy, the Woodshop, Christian Wood Starks. How do you feel about Christian Wood and what's going on there, man?
Of course it sucks, right? So this is for fantasy. This is I guess I should have made a highly suggested advice before starting this, because we know Christian Wood was a premium out of Yahoo format, I believe, probably even in ESPN, potentially Fantrax. The hype train was so, and the echo was so out there that they boosted his value up in leagues. And I'm just like, man, this destroyed my any sleeper appeal at all. So you had to pay a premium. But honestly, he was destroying even his ADP value. And I mean, I didn't expect that. But what I will say is, in, you know, transitioning to what I'm trying to say here, is my mindset was this. If Wood didn't pan out to be that ADP 40 range, I wanted to make sure, and I don't advise this, only if you're playing in fantasy football, like what Rye was transitioning to, is to do handcuffs, right? I don't recommend, and I don't promote handcuffs typically in basketball, especially in fantasy basketball. But this was a different occasion, and my logic was like, maybe if Wood doesn't pan out, because Cousins, Boogie was looking good in the preseason, a little bit of nostalgia from him in the preseason. Some of those games was a little bit iffy, and I honestly kind of thought this year that they were going to do the Twin Towers type of thing when they used to do Anthony Davis and Boogie back in the Pelican days. I thought they were going to potentially do that. That was still to be seen. I don't even think they played together on the court. It was just more of Boogie just playing from the bench to take Wood's minutes when he was tired, essentially. But as you can see, when Wood was out before this injury that occurred, again, to the ankle, Boogie was giving you some of the nostalgia stats. It was like the resemblance of him, what Boogie used to do back in the day. But that was my logic. If it didn't work out, if Wood didn't work out. But the thing was, I was stuck with Boogie because it's kind of, and I know I'm kind of dancing back and forth, because I didn't expect the coach to not like actually not use him both. I thought he was gonna use them both, but he wasn't. So longer story short, my suggestion was to handcuff Wood if something was to happen. And honestly, this injury to Wood, we still don't know. By the time you listen to this podcast, a report is probably gonna come out. But what I'm a little concerned about is like this report that has happened when he, you know, got hurt. I think it was on Morant's foot. Which is crazy because Morant was the one, I think, a little while ago. Was he in a wheelchair or something? He was out for a while. Well, maybe not a wheelchair, but crutches or something. And he was out for a while, but he came back.
He rolled his ankle, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that.
Okay, so he rolled his ankle. So it's almost like Wood almost did the same thing, essentially. But what I'm trying to say is the report, it's a little eerie because we should have known a report by now how long Wood's going to be out. But if you were able to handcuff Wood with Boogie, that is a good thing. Obviously, if he's available in shallow formats, he's probably not. You pick him up. But as a GM, as a roster, having Christian Wood roster, it's tough, man. And I don't know how to really stomach it. I mean, Christian Wood was pretty much, if you're punting charity stripe, which is the free throw line, he was giving you first-round value. So back-end first-round value, that's nothing to take lightly. Hopefully he comes back in the fantasy playoffs. You know, let me pass the ball to you, LT, real quick on your thoughts on Wood, man.
Yeah, man, this is a tough blow to all fantasy GMs that had him. They were feeling good, man. They were grinning like you were Stark from ear to ear on their pickup for Christian Wood. Whether you got him in a trade, whether you got him in your draft, he's been killing it for you. So this is a tough one. Starks is actually lucky to have Cousins. Most fantasy GMs probably don't have Cousins, you know, just chilling on their bench, ready to go in and be put in. So this is going to be a tough one. Scour your free agency. There's not really, Cousins is a direct beneficiary in this situation. So there's not really much to go with. Just look in your, just look into your, see who you can get, see if you can pick up. Hopefully Christian Wood comes back. I did want to update you guys. It looks like per last night, Christian Wood's considered weak to weak. He was diagnosed with a right ankle sprain. Of course, obviously, we all saw it. We don't know. He could miss extended time. Nothing concrete yet, but he's diagnosed with a right ankle sprain only. So nothing's broken or anything like that. Rob, what do you think about this Christian Wood injury, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, especially with the update you just gave, hopefully he gets, you know, wish him a speedy recovery. Hope he gets back on the court. Glad it's just an ankle sprain and not, you know, like an Achilles tear or anything like that, you know. So that's first and foremost. But, I mean, it's definitely a blow, especially to start this team. When it happened and I seen him go down, I thought, I'm like, man, like he was he's breaking out, like honestly. And then on top of it, the second person I thought of was, he's on Milan's team. And I was just talking about, you know, how we react to it. But, yeah, like, and a few weeks back when we had did the podcast, you know, we were kind of debating if, like, Wood would, like, be consistent and keep this up. And he's just been balling. Like, it's to the point now where, like, it's not a phase. It's not, like, a stretch or anything like that. Like, he's, like I said, he's somebody that, you know, like, teams are, like, game planning for. Like, he's not under the radar any longer. You know, and you're right, Boogie will be a direct, you know, beneficiary of him going down, unfortunately. But I was going to say, too, when Boogie gets time, I feel like per minute, I feel like he's still, you know, very effective, like when he's on the floor. But I feel like his minutes are just inconsistent. He may play 30 one night, 11 one night. Like, I'm looking at it here, and, like, I'm just like, his minutes go 16, 14, 33, 30, 33, 11, 14, 20, you know, so... It kind of vary, but I feel like per minute, Boogie, you know, is still very effective. And, yeah, that's pretty much my take on it. I still think Boogie has, you know, good value. Wood, I feel like, was a steal, honestly. Like, I was familiar with Wood coming into the season, but, like, he's definitely surprised me. Like, he's definitely, like, the one surprise, one player that, like, better pick, you know, a surprise player so far this year. It's, I would say Christian Wood. Like, he's definitely made a name for himself for sure. And I like his backstory. Didn't he have the like the girlfriend who like left him when he didn't get drafted? And, yeah, and I love those stories. I love those.
He's been through a lot, man. Then he got Shaq coming at him talking about he didn't know who he was, man. He's like, yeah. So
I was gonna say segue real quick. Like, Shaq's been going kind of hard too on the young guys, man. Like you know, he's a great. You know, so, I mean, he definitely has the, you know, the merit to, you know, speak his opinion on things. But I think it really comes down to the fact that, like, for example, like, Gobert's, like, max deal. Like, he just, like, players just weren't getting paid what they're getting paid now. Mm-hmm. And I think from, you know, but, yeah, lighten up on the guy, Shaq. Lighten up on him, man.
Yeah, Shaq's, I call it salty. Shaq's a little salty, man, because... If he was playing in his prime now, he'd be getting paid way more than what he was being paid back then. So when he sees people like Gobert, you know, not putting nearly close as many stats, and Shaq knows, man, Gobert would give him some work down on the post, man. I think it'll be tough for Shaq to, you know, try to go over that length. I mean, obviously he would body him. But Gobert's he's a good defender, man. So the way Gobert changes the aspect of that team is why they're one of the best in the West right now. So the money is where it needs to be. Shaq is just a little salty because if he's looking back, like, man, I'd be great. You know, I'd be the top, you know, center. I'd be doing 40-20s every night. You know how they talk on that show. So, you know.
No, I agree.
I was just gonna say this real quick. I disagree with you, Rodman. Shaq, you come hard on them dudes, man. Hey, listen, Donovan Mitchell, man, you need to come. You need to bring it. You're doing good, but you need to come harder. but I'll say this: as far as like what I agree with LT. Well, just both of you guys in general is Shaq. You know, that's what you get. You thought Wood was just a casual. You're just a casual man, and you know what is better than it, it's one of those, like you said, right? It's the stories. I didn't know about the girlfriend thing. That's hilarious, man. He's definitely went through the mutter, and I think I was talking to LT about this a little while ago. I can't remember when he played in Philadelphia. Not a lot of people remember that. I think it was Tony Wotan or something like that. He said this. This is what Christian Wood said. He said, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing it. He said the coach, or he was talking about the coaches, that he said the coach doesn't know, like he doesn't see that I'm the best player on the court. And I'm just like, yo, a statement like that, and he was not 6 minutes on the court. And then we know what happened to Detroit. As LT was, you know, knows last year, I was beating the drums hard for Wood. I was like, man, give this guy minutes. What are you guys doing? And Detroit, that's just another story. But I'll pass you back the ball, LT, to, you know, go to the next.
Yeah, that Detroit situation just shows you that there's favoritism in the NBA. Like, there's just, you know, coaches have their favorites. It's obvious that Wood was better than those other guys. He just wasn't getting the minutes.
One more thing too. I'm circling back around to the Shaq. Milan does bring up a good point. Not only did he go at Mitchell. Now, I was gonna say it's been very beneficial for Embiid as well, because he definitely challenged Embiid to, you know, pick it up, and Embiid's looking like the MVP so far this year. So there's definitely, you know, he's not completely just like riding on them, but sometimes he kind of picks on people a little bit, like, you know. But hey, it's bringing in. I mean, Mitchell done his thing outside of that missed dunk, and so.
I think for Shaq, man, I think he's trying to get into that mentorship role where if he sees something in somebody, he's going to try to pull it out of you. And everyone has their different methods. Shaq's is to pick at you and be like, hey, man, you suck right now. You need to get better. But it's because he sees something in that player that could be just like, he sees a lot of Embiid and he's like, Embiid, man, he should be dominating, man. He, you know, he reminds him of a, you know, old school center that can just dominate. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of pass or play. I'm going to throw out a guy's name here to you Starks and Rod, and you let me know if you try to play for a trade for this guy or if you want to pass on him and not have to, you know, not do it. So the first guy I'm going to do is Triple J. Starks, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's going to be out to at least March. Early March, would you try to pass and you don't want to deal with that knee coming back, or would you make a play for him, man? Go to whoever has him and try to get that trade, try to get a little trade before he comes back.
Formats, I'm going to buy him really cheap right now while the going gets going. Now, as far as redraft, I'm super concerned. And I feel like you called this player out, LT, because it was maybe this is a jab towards me, low-key, LT, because of we talked about the Brandon Ingram and Triple J thing last year. So I feel like that's a little jab. That's beautiful. But as far as redraft, this is a concern, right? I actually drafted him in a league I accidentally got in this year, but I threw him in the final spot. I wouldn't be trying. Now, if you can get him cheap, sure, in a redraft league, but I'm probably going to pass. Dynasty league, I would try to get him rostered on my team. So that's where I stand with that. Rod, what's your thoughts, man?
So as far as Jaren Jackson Jr., always kind of give a perspective outside of, like, just like the realm of the fantasy basketball. Like, I like his game. As far as right now, I mean, like I said, if I could get him on like a cheap or like a fair deal, you know, but especially that, what is his injury? I'm not familiar with his injury. But what exactly?
He has a knee. It's a knee injury.
Yeah. Well, it would just depend. I mean, I'm not that he's, you know, somebody who's like just like lining up the paint per se, but, you know, I could definitely go for some more size on my team. So depending on what I had to give up, you know, I would, you know, make a play for him. But at the same time, you know, I would be wary of him coming back, you know, from injury, and depending on what type of knee injury it is. And you said they're expecting him to come back March, so he's still about a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, now this is the prime time. If you have a GM that's, you know, maybe if he has Triple J and he's struggling right now, doing a quick trade for him. Triple J gives you a lot of value there, and I feel like it's something that the Grizzlies need. They need Triple J on the court, and so I think when he gets back, as soon as he gets back to, you know, properly getting his time in, he's healthy. I think they're going to play him, and they're going to play him a lot. That might hurt our guy Kyle, the Matrix, as we like to call him. I am actually a play on Triple J if you can. I don't know what you would actually give up, but I would try to play for him. If you have some assets that you can, you know, put together to get him and you're able to wait a month, that's 3 to 4 matchups. Think about that, people out there. It's 3 to 4 matchups that you feel like, look at your next 3 to 4 matches in advance, see who you're playing against, see where they're at on the totem pole and say, hey, if I can survive and win these next 3 weeks and Triple J makes my team better, then definitely go out and get him. That's somebody I would definitely be looking to target. The next guy I'm going to talk about, Starks, is Indiana and Caris LeVert. So Caris LeVert, he got that trade from the Nets. He's over to Indiana Pacers. He had his surgery. God bless that he was able to figure out, all that, what was going on with him. But he's supposed to be back early March. And so as well. So Starks, pass or play on a trade for Caris LeVert? Maybe his owner is getting fidgety, needs some production. What do you think, man?
Before I talk about that, let me also say another reason why I would probably pass on Triple J for this redraft this year. My boy, Professor X, Xavier, is inside the top 100. I just want him to get all those minutes, man, that he can, get. A guy that's a defensive juggernaut, so that's something to see. But you said Caris LeVert, right?
Yes.
For Indiana, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think I'm going to pass on him in a redraft format. Dynasty formats, I might even pass on him in dynasty formats. And that's not to say he's not a good player, because he is. Indiana is like this. Jeremy Lamb is back, and Jeremy Lamb has done well in the starting position. Now, I know typically what we're accustomed to in Indiana, Jeremy Lamb comes off the bench, the six-man role. And then we have to also talk about Warren GT and TJ Warren. He's also injured, and I think Rod has him on this team. Yeah. So when TJ Warren eventually, and I think he's out for the season or whatnot, but I'm saying even for the dynasty formats, you're going to have Malcolm in the middle, Brogdon. You're going to have Jeremy Lamb. You're going to have TJ Warren, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner, and then you're going to say Caris LeVert. Someone is going to lose the usage there. So I'm assuming they're going to probably – maybe they insert Caris LeVert back in the lineup, but maybe they don't. If anything, I would probably suggest and recommend that they bring Caris LeVert off the bench, because the usage rate should be fine where he'll have a lot of shot attempts. Now, you put him in a starting lineup playing with your boy LT Sabonis, playing with my guy Turner, TJ Warren, Malcolm in the middle, Brogdon, that's all of our guys. It's tough. It's really tough. And that's why my concern is with Caris LeVert. But I will say Indiana is running a different offense. I wish I had more stocks of any players in Indiana. And I'm sure Rod is kicking himself on one of his players that he traded. But I'll go ahead and transition and pass you the ball on that one, Rod.
Yeah, actually, I had Turner, Sabonis, and Warren, from the draft.
Ooh.
That was a fantasy basketball rookie mistake, but, you live and learn. But as far as Caris LeVert, I pretty much with all of these players that you're getting, I feel like I'm going to – I'll make a play depending on what I had to give up. assuming that, and of course he's coming back, healthy. Second to last in the league. So I'm pretty much going to be, I would like everybody that could potentially make my team better is in play, depending on what I had to give up. So that's a blanket answer there. But I mean, if he's healthy, I don't see why they wouldn't start him. I mean, I think that just in a vacuum that he's better than Jeremy Lamb. And Lamb's a good player, but I think that, of course, coming back from, injury, they'll probably, play him, just working back into the, working him into the rotation, But, I would definitely make a play for him, if he's coming back and if he's healthy.
Yeah, sure, hey, man, you said it, man. Listen, just go all the way in, man. Caris LeVert is better than Jeremy Lamb. You said it here first, man. I just wanted to make sure. I agree with you. I agree with you. And they brought him to Indiana to be a scoring piece for that team. So because I know his role, I already know what they want for him in that role, because he's going to fill that Dippo role, right? That Dippo role, scoring. We know he can score. We know how he has the ability to score. And I've seen his game, man. I love Caris LeVert's game. I like watching him perform and play. So we know what he's going to do when he gets back. And we know that he's going to be able to kind of, you know, settle into that team. I think when he gets back, that's going to hurt Jeremy Lamb. So for you Lamb owners, I think that's going to hurt Lamb a little bit, because I think LeVert's going to get the bulk share of the opportunity as long as he's healthy and able to. And in that turn, I'm going to say I would make a play for him. If you need points in any league, the main thing about this is to think about players that may be able to come to you cheap, you know, cheaper than other players, because these players are out for another month. Just like other fantasy owners or GMs, they're looking at their next 4 to 5 week matchups and they're like, man, you know, I would really need, you know, I would love to have a Lowry, you know, a Kyle Lowry on my team to assist me to kind of, you know, help me win some matchups. Okay, in my head, I'm like, okay, how can I turn Kyle Lowry into Triple J? Or can I turn Lowry into, you know, I don't know if Lowry for LeVert's the right trade, but I'm just saying, you got to think about that in fantasy in order to stay ahead of the curve. I would definitely make a play for Caris LeVert. But Starks, Starks already answered, right? You already said what you, how you feel, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to say one more thing. It'll be a disservice if I don't mention this. Yo, TJ McConnell, man. The first player since Manu Ginobili in 2013 to hand out 15 assists in under 30. So if you are a GM that needs the cheap guards, I'm sure he's not a but shallow formats, get them cheap assists from McConnell off the bench. And also in Indiana, like they have a lot of solid players. I mean, we could talk about the Holiday brothers, right? So, that's all I got, though, LT. I just wanted to make sure TJ McConnell was mentioned.
I don't want to hear about McConnell, man. Rod has something he wanted to say, man.
Oh, no, my wife walked.
Oh, okay. I thought you were waving to us. Like, hey, no problem. All right, my last player, and this is it's a two-part question. This is a passer play, you know, whether you guys will go after this player, but also if you think this player is going to come back and do better than he was originally. This is kind of a question for me as well. Yusuf Nurkić is scheduled to come back middle of March from his wrist injury. We all know CJ McCollum's also on that team. He's scheduled to be come back mid-March, but we all know he's a hold. If you have an IL spot, no one's trading CJ probably. That's probably a hold player for most people. But Yusuf Nurkić, do you pass or play on Yusuf Nurkić? And then on another part of that, do you think Enes Kanter should stay in the start? You think Enes Kanter stays in that starting lineup even when he does get back? Rod, go.
So first of all, as far as the play for Nurkić, I'll definitely, like I said, I would definitely consider making a play for him. I need bigs too. You know, I need bigs, and I feel like that would definitely be every time I say something, Milan smiles. But no, I need bigs on my team, and Nurkić, when healthy, he's definitely a good player. When Nurkić comes back, I don't see Kanter, you know, I mean, especially if he comes back healthy, I don't see how Kanter starts over him. He's the better player. He's better than Kanter. I think Kanter does give you solid offense. I think that's about really all he gives you. Really, he's not really a defensive threat at all, really. But it's a nice touch around the rim. But to say that, like, I would make a play for
him. Okay.
Maybe that I will go after.
There you go.
I know Milan's not going to trade him to me.
Kanter has probably outplayed Nurkić this season. Even when Nurkić was healthy, Nurkić wasn't playing that well, unfortunately. So Starks, what do you think, man? Would you make a play for Yusuf Nurkić, or would you pass on him based on his previous performances?
Well, first, Rod, I'm glad you stuck your chest out. And you finally said, instead of saying depending on the situation, you finally said that you're going to play, right? Because that's why I was going to come hard at you to give that compromising, like a yes-no type of answer, but you didn't do it this time, so I can be easy on you. But I'm passing on Nurkic, and this is the reason why. He wasn't in my mind in this draft this season. Neither was Whiteside. I had both of them on my pass list this season. Now, that doesn't mean I hit on all players, because I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I'm wrong quite often. But those two players in particular come into drafts, I didn't want nothing to do with them because of their price ranges. But Nurkic, I do have to say this. He only played a few games, more than a handful of games last year, and he was given first-round bye. I can't ignore that. But the thing is, with Nurkic, you know, everybody was like, buy low on Nurkic. Yeah, he was a moment of a buy low candidate because he was playing very putrid, and he was given some nostalgia what he was doing last year, the last couple games before he got injured. But yes, he's definitely better than Kanter, and he's going to start over Kanter when he's healthy. Kanter is just a scorer. He's a defensive liability. But as far as Nurkic goes, I'm going to pass because he was not inconsistent, but he wasn't good this year. Can he be better? He should be because of how bad he was playing this year. But for me, I'm just going to still pass. That doesn't mean he won't get better because I still believe he will. But I will look elsewhere. As far as dynasty formats, I'm going to hold on to Nurkic. But even so, honestly, let me take that in reverse. When Nurkic puts solid games in a dynasty format, I would probably trade him. So I'm probably going to pass him altogether. LT, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to touch on, Starks. Not only would I pass on him, if I have him, I would probably sell him. And the reason why I would sell him is because even when he gets back, okay, Kanter still gives you the popcorn stats that you're looking for. He was putting up higher value than Nurkic after a certain point when Nurkic was playing. And I think that the way that the Portland Trailblazers are playing, especially now that some of these young guys are coming out, Ant, Simons, Gary Trent, I think that their best way of them playing is faster pace. And so I think they're starting to figure that out and learn that as the season goes on. And Kanter is a better player with faster pace than Yusuf Nurkic. Yusuf Nurkic is a half court set type of player, pick and roll with Lillard. And hey, listen, when the game slowed down, that works, right? So at the end of games where games are those type of plays, you're having half court sets. Hey, go ahead. Let's run a pick and roll. But when it comes to the first three quarters, I think the Blazers have been playing a lot better recently with young guys running, shooting, and doing their thing. So I think that you're gonna start seeing more of that game style from them moving forward, and that's gonna hurt Nurkic and any big that the Blazers put out there, because it's gonna be less of those sets that they run. So I would sell him. He still may average when he gets back. He still may get close to a double double set. He's still gonna find rebounds, you know, in that type of game where there's a lot of shots. But I feel like the fact that Kanter is going to still hold some sort of value, and Nurkic is so injury prone, man. He could get hurt again. And they're going to be super kid gloves with him so that they'll have him healthy for the playoffs if they make it to the playoffs. So that's what I'm thinking. So I would sell him, and then I would probably pass on him, but you could probably get him for cheap. You could probably get him for cheap. If you need a cheap big man, and trust me, in that league, I need some cheap big men. I need some cheap big. So it might be someone that I'm willing to take a roll on, as long as you're not losing someone super pivotal for your team. But I would definitely sell him if you have him, get you something in return, because he's probably not going to give you the type of value he gave you last year. And that's just what I think.
Last thing I was going to say is funny. You know, we talk about him being a defensive liability, right? Back on my birthday on the 6th of January, he had 5 blocks. I was like, wait a minute, that has to be Nurkic's name, right? No, that was Kanter's.
He had 5 Cantaloupe.
Yeah, guess what? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think they, in an interview, that's like my favorite team, so I get all the little blurbs in an interview. Yeah. No, they asked him, they was like, did you know you got like 5 blocks? He was like, I did? he didn't even know. He was like, oh, that's good. And he's like, yeah, you're not a defensive player at all.
Yeah, because, 6 games after that, he had 0 blocks. So, I just had shame. But I'm forward, LT.
Nah, you're good. All right. And then, so that was our passer play. So you guys, that was good, man. You guys, did you have anything to say about that? Or are you good?
I'm good.
All right, man. All right. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about, I wanted to ask these guys, and I'll answer the question, of course, as well. There's 3 guys that have really, really had great seasons so far. Second round value. Actually, most of these guys are in the first round right now on the season totals. And it's Miles Turner. It is Fred Van Vliet. And he had a monster game the other night. Congratulations to Fred Van Vliet holding the Toronto Raptors scoring port total, passing DeRozan up the other night. And then Dirty Drew Holiday, man. Dirty Drew having one of his best seasons in a long time. And so out of these 3 guys, I'm going to ask Starks and I'm going to ask Rod, which one of these 3 guys are they most surprised about? First I'm gonna throw it over to Rod, man, because I think I know his answer. But Rod, which one of these 3 guys are you most surprised as having a top, top 24, top 25 season, man?
So I'm actually gonna say Turner. I would say Van Vliet's definitely been showing up ever since he got that deal. Like, he got his money, and he's definitely, been putting up, for Toronto. I think for those who are listening, I traded Turner pretty early on, and I made a mistake there. So we're going to put that in context there. But coming to the season, Miles Turner's always been,
Who'd you trade Turner for, man?
I traded for Devin Booker. Okay. It's not like he's not providing the value that Turner has, but I was looking just to player for player, Anyway, we're not talking about that. I would say that my biggest surprise, I would say Van Vliet. Like I said, he got his money and he's just showing that he's he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. Like, he had a 54-point night the other night. I don't think any of us really expected a 54-point outburst from Van Vliet, but, he is capable of that. And with the time winding down for Lowry, he's showing that he could, potentially be someone who could, lead Toronto or Tampa going forward. And, so I would go with Van Vliet. I would say he's probably the most surprising.
Yeah, and not to make it tough on you, man, but D Booker right now is coming in at around 98, just within the top 100 on the season. And Miles Turner right now on a per on a season total basis is top 10. So yeah, just letting you know, just didn't want to mention that or anything. But no, Starks, out of those 3 players, you got Miles Turner. I know you always believe in Miles Turner, so I don't know if that's going to be your answer. I don't know. But Fred Van Vliet killing it, and Dirty Drew Holiday, man, coming back from a very low season. We know last year he underperformed. Starks, what do you think, man? Which one are you most surprised about?
Actually, you're probably going to be surprised. It is Miles Turner, but I'll explain why. Drew Holiday was actually a sleeper candidate of mine this year.
Okay.
That I was going to be a sleeper coming in Milwaukee. I felt like he could get to a winning team in a sense. And as far as Fred Van Vliet, he's a bit of a surprise. I'll say that, but I'll tell you why Miles Turner, even though he's my boy, is the biggest surprise. But Fred Van Vliet, like what Rod was saying. Like, I can't ignore what he's doing. I mean, he's been the last 2 weeks the number one overall player in fantasy. That's something that I can't ignore. And obviously, we know the blow-up game in Toronto. But I got to give Rod, now, although I gave him, you know, a hand clap, now I got to tear him down real quick. So, actually, I'm not going to tear him down because I'll say it like this. He wasn't really wrong what he did, and this is why I say it. And Miles Turner, for one, he's a surprise to me because I didn't expect him to be a first-round value player this year. That is just crazy. I never expected that. Now, I always, in my logic, he's like a top 25 player-ish in my head throughout the years. He should have been that, and for some reason, for years, he was struggling to even crack the top 50. And that's why I started getting a lot of messages from listeners telling me Miles Turner's a scrub. I was hearing Sabonis is the best big man there. And Sabonis is a good big man. As LT said, they're two different type of bigs, right? One is a very offensive juggernaut. The other one is a defensive, like, player. And sometimes when they are on the court, they don't play well the plus minus. But this year, it's a little different. Indiana's playing a different offense and moving different. But I did not expect Miles Turner to give first-round value. I thought maybe potentially some years ago that he could do it. But it was like he was regressing. I'm just like, I know you're better than this. Like, what's going on? And to be honest with you, this is me nitpicking. He can actually be a little bit better. And I believe that because he can score more if they needed it from him. But what I was more concerned about when they had a lot of injuries at one point last year, it was especially with Domantas Sabonis, was like, why aren't you taking the ball? Why aren't you shooting it? So coming back to Rod on this trade, though, the Miles Turner is traded for Devin Booker. It was earlier in the beginning of the season. And let me say this. That seems actually the right trade to do. And the reason why that is because Devin Booker in redraft formats was essentially a player that was going in Yahoo formats as a top 15, top 17, top 15 player. Miles Turner was like ADP was like past 50, right? And I was like, yo, you know, so everybody was just tired of it, just the mediocre blocks, you know, for Miles Turner. Now, how I was looking at it, when he was getting the blocks and what I was seeing from him this year, I was like, that's probably not a good trade for Rod, because I think Miles Turner, although the four blocks that he was doing at one point in time, that wasn't going to be sustainable. But is three blocks and more potentially sustainable? Yes, I believe that. And Rod, you got something. Go ahead, man.
The day that I confirmed the trade was the day that he put up eight blocks, and I couldn't go back and cancel it out. It had already been accepted. But he was still on my team when he put up the eight blocks, but I was just – so my line of thinking real quick was just that I was just thinking, like, with Chris Paul, Book is about to explode, and he just hasn't done that. Not that he's been – I mean, it's not like I traded him for – it's not like I traded Turner, like, for Caruso or anything like that. Yeah. I was just expecting – of course, and then, like I said, being new to fantasy basketball, like, thinking, like, how you win each specific category and how, like, that's – that goes into, you know, your record. But I was just expecting Booker to explode next to Paul, and he hasn't really exploded. If anything, he may have regressed slightly.
Well, even on top of that, season is still young, so Booker can still turn around, but – my logic was this. He was not, in my opinion, he was not and still is not going to be a top 15 player this season. I expect Booker to play better at some point. Maybe potentially top 50 to 30-ish, and I know that's still cutting a lot of value off of him from a top 15 player. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But Miles Turner, not averaging over. He's averaging close, or he's averaging 3.7 blocks this season. If he averages three – least a season plus, that's automatically like going to give you top first or second round value. But no, Miles Turner is the biggest surprise because I didn't expect him to be first round value this year. And it looks like he's going to stay within the first and second round vicinity. So I'll pass you the ball, LT. Who's your biggest surprise, man?
Yeah. So Miles Turner, man, I loved you guys' answers, by the way. A little banter back and forth, man. Miles Turner, you know, I'm not surprised because this is always, when you pick up Turner, this is what you expect him to do. And so when you pick him up and you pick him up almost at a premium, you expect him to get you 78 blocks on a year. That's something you just can't find anywhere else, really. And 78 blocks, that's crazy. And for him to be putting up the percentages he is, the rebounds, he's boosting up that them points totals. And that was his biggest, that was the biggest takeaway I know for a couple of years, Starks, is that my man Miles doesn't produce enough on the offensive side to warrant just having a block specialist, right, in fantasy. And so especially at the premium in which he was being drafted. If you're going to get Turner, you might as well get Gobert, right? Gobert is just, you know, he produces a little bit more. That's not the same because Turner gives you those threes. He has 32 threes on the season. That's crazy. That's crazy to me that he has 32 threes on the season. He, you know, just to give you guys a reference, Kawhi has 38. So that just gives you a reference of how many threes, you know, comparative. And then he's just being efficient, low turnovers, because he doesn't, he's not a crazy high usage guy, but man, his percentages, he's over 500%. So he's not killing you in field goal percentage. And then his free throws, 0.761, guess what? That's doable. You know, you can work with that. You know, you can work with that. It's not just completely destroying your free throw percentage on the week. And with only, with a low percentage of attempts. So that's crazy to me. But he's not my pick because I always thought Turner can do it. Always thought Turner can make, you know, he's doing what we expect him to do. And it translates to, you know, great fantasy stats. My man, and Van Vliet, I was huge on Van Vliet this year. So I was big on him. I just never could get him in drafts. He was always gone by the time he got to me. And I just couldn't get him. But, man, as soon as I remember it was the playoffs, I think when they won the championship, his baby was born. And then Then he just started going off. He just started, like, destroying. And ever since then, that's what's been happening. And I love that type of stuff I love to see. But Drew, Dirty Drew, man, for me, it's Mr. Holiday. And the reason why is because last year I invested in Holiday in a couple of leagues, and he let me down, man. He let me down, and then I thought that his value would take a hit with the move over to Milwaukee. You got Middleton, you got Giannis, and Alphabet Soup. You got Brooke Lopez. I mean, you know, obviously he's regressed a little bit, but I didn't know where Drew would fit in on that team offensively. And so I thought he was going to take a little bit of a hit, man. I was wrong. Not only is he just super efficient, and that's the thing I want to talk about right now, efficiency. He's super efficient, and it's because Middleton and Giannis have all of that, you know, they're getting all of that attention. Drew's able to work. And Drew reminded me that, hey, I got game this year. I got game, man. If I got just one guy in front of me, I'm going to beat him 90% of the time. And so he's really, and then the 42 steals, Starks, 42 steals, Rod, that is crazy to me. That's tough on a team with Giannis, Middleton, like I said, Dante, DiVincenzo, these guys, he's keeping the defensive intensity just as high. 41 threes, you know, assist at 116, not the highest assist, but it's solid. And that's what, you know, that's why I want to talk about. He's just efficient all around the board. He doesn't hurt you really in any category. He provides you statistics in every single category at an efficient rate. He even got 13 blocks on the season, like, huh? And so, you know, Dirty Drew, man, I was expecting him to take a dip back. I wasn't expecting him to be that involved in the offense. But, man, he's doing it all this season. So, what do you guys think?
For me, hey, I would say it's not really a surprise. I was always a big fan of Drew Holiday. I just always felt that he had to, you know, get away from New Orleans and get on a team that was actually going to contend. The moment they did give up a lot for him, I feel like, but I mean, he's an immediate upgrade to Eric Bledsoe. You know, so I would say he's an immediate upgrade to Eric Bledsoe. So it's not really surprising, honestly, as far as what, you know, Holiday is doing. I mean, he's always been like heralded for, you know, being able to be effective on both sides of the ball. And I think he's really just showing that. The big thing with Holiday really has always just been if he could just stay healthy. You know, I feel like that's always been like the only really knock on him. Outside of that, I mean, he has game. His peers speak highly of him, so you know they recognize. I would say that's not really a surprise to me necessarily, just because he's always had game. So.
Okay. Starks, what do you think, man?
This was a sleeper to me. What is a surprise is the almost every feels the so that's boring. I mean, always hovered around the 1.6 range, but okay. For him to be 1.9 is solid. His charity stripe is well there, 82% this year. But no, overall, I think I expected. It's not really a big surprise overall, though.
Yeah, he hurt me last year, so I guess I was a little scorned, so I was a little. And then I just honestly, I thought he had more opportunity in New Orleans with the Pelicans than he does here with the Bucks. But I guess I was wrong. And him and Middleton and Giannis are all keeping their value really high on that team. Kind of low-key big three no one's talking about, but you know Drew doesn't get that type of love, but they've been as far as the production, Drew, Milton, and Giannis are the top three dogs in the Bucks world right now. But yeah, so that's all for those. I'm glad I like to get everyone's feel on what's going on. That's interesting. The last thing we're going to touch on, Starks, is Dynasty. I know you know, originally this was a Dynasty podcast. There's two guys, two rookies that are killing it right now, Starks. And I wanted to get your take and also get Rod's take on these guys. LaMelo, first I'm going to talk about LaMelo Ball, the more spicy guy. LaMelo Ball is raising up his minutes per game. They're going up. It's going up. His free throw percentage 0.78, so you know close to that 80%. He needs to take more attempts. I would say that was my biggest thing about him. He needs to be more aggressive on the offensive end. But that's it. That's all I got. He's averaging 13 points per game, almost two snipes, 1.5 snipes per game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1.4 steals, which is the big one for me. I wasn't expecting him to come in here and be a defensive steal artist, opportunist, I would say, is more of the it's more of the right wording there. And he only has 6 assists, but that number is going to continue to rise as he gets more playing time. Starks, what do you think about LaMelo Ball in a dynasty format, or even in a redraft format? What are you thinking about LaMelo Ball and what he's showing you so far?
Wow, on both ends, redraft is really wild. And honestly, I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb. Probably it's probably not a limb, but it's better than his brother already. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say rookie this year, Charlotte, with all of those weird things going on. They don't know who to bring off the bench. All the guards. Listen, man, like, I did not expect if there's any, this is a surprise to me. Now, I considered him a player to draft in pre-draft format, but I wasn't aggressively drafted. Dynasty formats, I probably would have not drafted him aggressively. My logic is probably because in the absence of Terry Rozier, this guy has been amongst boys under the radar. I mean, not even under the radar. We all kind of going on. But the averages in 4 games, I got to say this, like 24 points, close to 3 snipes, 5 rebounds, almost 7 assists, 2 steals, shooting at 51% in that 4 games. Now, we know he's not going to be a great shooter, but I just beat the charity stripe at 78%. Those 4 games alone, he 5%. He was playing aggressive also, LT. Going to the charity stripe 5 times in those 4 games. Now, the last 2 weeks, we backtrack a little bit. His value decreased, but he was still inside the top 50. So, Charlotte, I think I think they just need to start him. They just, whether Terry Rozier, because Terry Rozier is good. So is Devontae Graham Crackers, right? They're all pretty good. But I just think you just need it. Listen, if you're going to play that musical chairs, just start all three of them. Like, just don't mess around. Just start all three of them. Have the small backcourt. It doesn't matter. I mean, what? OKC did that a little bit last year, right? What was it? SGA, Chris Paul, and what's the other guy that Nintendo Schroeder did that lineup a lot last year. But why don't you, Charlotte, just go ahead and do that? And if you're going to pull one of them off the bench, I don't think Ball's the one that needs to come off the bench. I'm just going to go on a limb and also say that he needs to be the starter of this team. And as much as I like Rozier, and I know a lot of people just jumped off, but Rozier's doing good this year. Rozier or Devontae Graham Cracker, they just need to, one of them need to come off the bench. But Ball, I think, in my opinion, how Charlotte is orchestrating how that team is built, just go ahead and just run free with the newness, the flash go of Ball. That's my thoughts. This guy's amazing in a dynasty format. If you're able to get him, I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to pill for him off. You got to go all in for him. If you drafted him in redraft format, I would not trade him away unless I'm getting like a top 30 player back, because I can only imagine what he's going to do the next year. Rob, what do you thought?
LeVar was right about him. LeVar was right, man. He's showing, you know, flashes of greatness. And I would say as the season progresses, I would say he's been, you know, definitely been more consistent. I would say, of course, just as you get a better feel for the game, is hopefully, you know, turnovers overall will decrease. But he's definitely playing good ball. I wouldn't say he's better than Lonzo yet, because Lonzo has been playing better. As of late, he has been playing bad as of late. He still needs to be consistent, though, because, you know, he'll have a great game that makes you think he turned the corner, and then he'll go out for 10 games straight and average like 5, 5, and 5. Yeah, he needs to get more consistent there. But now, LaMelo Ball is the real deal. Like, LaMelo Ball is the truth, and I agree with you. He needs to be starting. I think Rozier would be a great six man, you know, to come in, like, almost in, like, a Lou Will, Jamal Crawford type of role, would just come in just that instant spark, because, you know, he still can be, you know, scary Terry, but it's Melo's show, and, like, I love his game, man. I love his game. You know, he definitely got some flair to him, you know, hopefully, as far as just, you know, like, shooting percentages and shooting, he's going to shoot enough threes, so hopefully, it seems like lately it's been going in, you know, more consistently. So hopefully he can just tighten up there. But love his game. Love his game. He's a gamer. You know, he's not a lockdown defender, but yet, as you mentioned, he still can make plays on that end as well. He just has a feel for the game that you can't teach. And I do think that when it's all said and done, if he's not already the best ball brother, when it's all said and done, he'll definitely be. Because he's going to be the only one that makes an all-star team. So he'll definitely be better than, you know, he'll definitely be better than Lonzo. So, yeah.
Good. I agree. If you drafted him, you know, and some people drafted him pretty aggressively, maybe too aggressively still, but they drafted him pretty aggressively in that back end, 6th, 7th, 8th round area. You're grinning from ear to ear, because the potential is even higher, because right now he's averaging 26 minutes per game. But like Stark said, in the last four, he's expanded on that. And as soon as he gets his minutes, you know, averaging, it doesn't matter if he starts. As long as he's averaging 30 plus minutes a game, like a lot of the other top stars and point guards are doing, he will put up the stats you need in order to make it through. He, you know what? It's weird to me, because when I first saw him play, man, I was like, man, it's going to take him a couple years. That's what I said. I said, it's going to take him a couple years. I was like, man, that shooting, they all got these delayed shots. It's going to be hard for him to get a shot off. I think playing with people like G. Hay, Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, these fast, they play so fast that it just doesn't matter. And so I think that's really played a role in him developing and getting better. I didn't think the steals were going to be there, man. The steals are there. He, as long as he gets more minutes, and I think he is going to get more minutes, I think that he's going to be a, I think he has the potential to be a top 50 when he starts, if he can start. I think he has potential to kind of slide into a top 50 role at the end of this year. And if you drafted him anywhere after 70, you're just grinning because it's just going to get better, right? It's just going to get better with the more time he gets. So, but we got LaMelo Ball. The last player I wanted to talk about is my man here, Tyrese Haliburton. This guy on the Kings, he's been playing. And his stats aren't as popcorn. They don't pop off the page like LaMelo's do. He's not out there doing behind the back passes or, you know, doing all this crazy stuff. But he's silently having a very solid year. So much of a solid year that I feel like the Kings are gonna have a really tough time making a decision on their future. And who they gonna start and who they gonna play, because I almost feel like he's already a better point guard than De'Aaron Fox. And point guard. Okay, De'Aaron Fox's heads and tails a better point guard, but I would run Fox at the two. That's just me though. That's just me. I would run Fox at the two. It's super giving me Harden Westbrook vibes. This is, you know, when I'm looking at the court, Westbrook always played that point, but I always feel like Harden was the better point guard. And that's just how I feel in this situation. But they're going to have some tough decisions to make because Hield is, you know, can he play the three? Harrison Barnes, he's out there still producing. He's actually having a career year, surprisingly. Holmes on Holmes is playing out of his mind as well. Bagley's Bagley. They still struggling from the center position. Yeah, exactly, Rod. I don't know. I expected Bagley to be a little better this year, but and they got Whiteside just chilling in the back. They'll play him at one every five games, and then he'll come in. He'll do good, and then they'll be like, okay, we've seen enough. And so, Haliburton's coming in with some stats of 1.2 steals, 5.4 assists. 5.4 assists already, 3.7 rebounds, 11.2 points, 2.2 average threes. And his free throws are 0.833 and field goal percentage is at 1.47. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to you guys. I'm going to go to Rod first because I've seen some of his facial expressions. And I'm going to ship it over to Rod. What do you think about Tyrese Haliburton or anything about what I just said?
I do like Tyrese Haliburton. When he got drafted, I believe he got drafted 12th in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. Commentators were saying that he could – you know, be the steal of the first round. And I think Haliburton is a good player. When you were saying that they're going to have a tough decision to make, I was wondering where you were going. I thought you were going to say, like, that they should, like, put him, like, over, like, Buddy Hield. But you went the De'Aaron Fox route. And I think my face just lit up, like, whoa, I didn't expect that. I'm just going to preface it by saying the Sacramento Kings might be the only team, like, I just haven't seen play this year. Like, I've been going – Like I'm not, I just don't see, like, I don't know if I've, I mean, they've been on TV, obviously, but, I mean, you can find their game. I haven't really watched a lot outside of just, like, just checking up on, like, the score and thing like that, so I can't sit here and just give, like, a full, like, all-out analysis of it, but I do like Haliburton. I do think that with him, you know, falling outside the top 10 of the actual NBA draft, that he could, develop into perhaps the steal of the draft. And if they could find a way to, I'm gonna lean on you a little bit by saying that they don't seem like the perfect mesh in the backcourt, but if they could find something with Hillman Fox, if they can make that work, they could potentially have a decent team. I mean, they're never going to win in Sacramento. honestly, I don't think that De'Aaron Fox is going to play. I know he just read up on a big contract, but I don't think he's going to finish out this contract in Sacramento. I think there'll be a point in time where he'll force his way out. How, you know, players force their way out of situations. So assuming that he continues to progress and he, you know, creates that leverage for himself. But I don't see him finishing out in Sacramento. I mean, you know, it's not surprising that he, you know, read up for that deal. But this is about Halliburton. So if that plays out how I play out, they may not have a decision to make because Halliburton progressed to the point to where, you know, they could let, get Fox what he wants, which I'm definitely predicting the future, but I mean, I don't see him staying in Sacramento because he's never going to contend in Sacramento. And I hate to say it like that, but he's just not. And I drafted Bagley with the hopes that he'll turn the corner, and he just hasn't. So,
yeah, that's a tough one. Bagley's a tough one. And, no, everything you said is correct. And again, this is me watching them play a little bit. I just feel like, I think Fox is he's just a player where I feel like he should be focusing on dominating the game offensively, using his speed. Obviously, he's still going to get assists, but just not, I think he would be freed up if he didn't have to worry about dishing the rock to all these other players, getting other people involved. I just feel like he'll probably always still have decent assist numbers just because of how he plays, kickouts and stuff like that. But I feel like Halliburton should be the guy focusing on getting the rock to other people instead of Fox, so Fox can free up him just dominating. I feel like Fox should be a 30-plus point game player, man. He's so explosive. He's so fast. He has John Wall with a bigger body. Man, I love Fox, but Starks, what do you think about Halliburton, dynasty formats in general? What are you thinking, man?
I think he's going to eventually start, and this is probably going to hurt people out there in format, especially you. I like Buddy Hield, but I almost like Buddy Hield probably should start coming off the bench as a sixth man, and I am potentially playing him. And I know Harrison Barnes has been having a career year. I can't ignore that. I mean, you could slide Buddy Hield to the three, but honestly, I think Halliburton is going to be a point in time that he probably starts either at the two with De'Aaron Fox, or they might mix it up where one of them brings the ball up the court. But, you know, that's how I look at it. As far as Bagley, you know what, Rod? I actually expected him to play a little bit better this year. Also, he's not doing it, man. It's really looking like he's doing the same thing as he was doing last season. Honestly, he's worse this season. Almost seems like. So hopefully things will turn around for him. But I think as far as Halliburton dynasty formats, I'll be honest, I wasn't in on him. I wasn't sure, but I am now, you know what I mean? Just seeing what he's done this season. I think he is legitimately the real deal guy for the future, whether being in Sacramento, the Steelers draft. Yeah, it definitely has to be. There was even mentioned of, you know, rookie of the year, and I know that's going to be really hard for him to do, especially with what Ball's doing this year, but that's just to be mentioned. I mean, I can't ignore it, you know. Even in this fantasy season, what he's doing, you know, that's a beautiful sight to see. Sacramento, I always cheer for them to do good. It's just, I remember a couple of years ago they were starting to do good to, you know, potentially making the playoffs, but it's like we're back in Sacramento land, and I just really wish for the best, but that's all I got, LT.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Starks. And, Sacramento's one of those teams because I like homes on homes. I always, you know, I look at them and, you know, I'm voting for them. But after watching a couple of their games, man, I just feel like Fox is more of a Beal than anything else, man. He's more of a two-guard. Who's trying to do point guard duties, and it's just that's just how I feel. And so Halliburton, his IQ level, so his game IQ level is just so advanced for where he's at, you know, in this particular time frame of his career. It's just going to get better. He has that LeBron IQ vision, and so I just feel like that's going to be eventually the role. And Starks, they actually played around with Hield coming off the bench before. So it's not something they haven't explored with before. They've had Hield kind of coming off the bench. Buddy didn't like that. Buddy Hield didn't like that. but it gives him an opportunity to come in and not have to fight with people. And that was while Fox was hurt too. They were experimenting with that. So that only tells you that it might be something they need to do. They can also slap Hield to the three, Barnes to the four, and Rashawn Holmes to the five. I don't know how that works defensively, but they could also do that as well. Just to get Halliburton needs to be in there at the start of the game, setting the tone, dishing that rock out. He doesn't care about scoring. He's not he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't need to score a lot of points to impact the game, and those type of players you want to have on your team. As far as dynasty purposes, I'm all in on Halliburton because his future's so bright. Also, in redraft formats, he was slated. He was an end of draft. I think I picked him up in like the last round and of a couple of drafts. He's right outside the top 50 right now. So if you picked him up and you got him off the waiver wire, or if you got him at the end of your drafts, man, the value switch from where he was preseason to where he's at now is crazy. So you're grinning from ear to ear for sure. But yeah, that's all I got on Halliburton. And real quick, just to touch up on it real quick, just to go through the trifecta, Anthony Edwards. Rod, what do you think about Anthony Edwards, and do you think that he eventually starts over in Minnesota, man?
Absolutely. I would put him the top three players of the draft, which was Edwards, Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. Like, I thought like those three were pretty much as close to can't miss as you get. And I feel like Edwards has already, you know, shown some flashes. I mean, obviously he needs to, you know, get more efficient, things like that. But I would say, yes, I do think he'll eventually, you know, start for Minnesota. He should be starting now, honestly. I believe they have the worst record in the league. And I feel like he probably should have about the greenest light, honestly, especially as the number one pick. Like, I think his floor is, yeah, he might not, I got to look up his numbers now, but he may not get like 20 points now, but I just think his overall like career floor is like, his floor is probably like 20 points a game. Like, I just think like he's a star in the making. I think he's a star in the making. Okay. I love Anthony Edwards game.
Oh, you like him? He's a funny guy too, man. He's actually a pretty funny guy, man. I've saw some of his interviews, man. So I like his personality. Yeah, it's weird that he's not starting. It's kind of weird. I don't know if that's just like the because all of these guys, if you think about it, except for Wiseman, they coming off the bench at first. So I don't know if it's like just something that, you know, like a new trend or something that they gotta earn their way into the starting lineup. But if they're top five, man, like, put them in.
You know, coaches always try, you know, teach the young guys a lesson, and you have to earn your way onto the floor. Like, listen here, you drafted first and third, respectively. Like, yeah, you know,
there's a reason.
I know me and Milan talked about this before. So, the Knicks are my team, and well, we're looking better this year, and huge problem that like RJ Barrett, like his shots were inconsistent, and always with, and same thing with, like Anthony Edwards, like he needs to have the greenest light, like he's about one of the only bright spots that we have. Get him shots.
for sure.
And that's how, I feel the same way about Edwards. Like, take shots.
take him. Starks, what do you think about Anthony Edwards, man? Since we talked about Bello and Halliburton, I might as well talk about the third, pretty much third best rookie here. What do you think about Anthony Edwards, man?
Sure. To be fair, he's been starting, has he not? I know he started at least three games here recently. I don't know.
I was out of necessity, though. Due to injuries.
Just check. I know three games he started in February, Just let me know if he's still starting in particular. It could have been out of necessity, like you said. But as far as Anthony Edwards, just like what Rod said, he has definitely shown some flashes this season. Just like what Rod said, his percentage should be better than that. But he should have a green light. Minnesota, what are you doing? Just start him. There's just certain teams you just got to start the rookies and stop beating around the bush. So I know Golden State went ahead. And I'm going to eat my crow on this. You know, I said and proclaimed Wiseman would be – and that was a bold take. Wiseman would be a top 80. It's not looking like it. So I'll eat my crow and say I'm wrong there. Obviously, Wiseman is hurt as well. But Anthony Edwards, regardless of his percentages, his field goal percentage shooting at 36%, he should still have a green light. Minnesota, what? It's they're in a struggle, but we don't know Minnesota's identity. So why don't you just throw him out there? Just see what happens, and I do definitely like the flash that he's been doing, and I think there's going to be better days to come. And just like what you said, LT, his the way he carries himself is funny. I can't remember the interview it was, but I can't remember the interview. It was this woman that he was speaking to, and I guess he's competitive in everything he does, right? And he supposedly is supposed to be good at everything he does. And the woman was like, "So even cooking?" He was like. He said, "Whatever, just tell me what it is. I'm good at it. I got it. You know, I'm just tell me." Just how he said it was hilarious. But I think the future looks bright for him in dynasty formats. I would rather. So if you ask me in these three in order, who would I have him in dynasty formats and redraft formats? Let me put it in this, and then I'll give you the ball, LT. I would have ball first dynasty format. This one is tough. Mm-hmm. Edwards or Halliburton, that one's really tough. Mm-hmm. There's no safe way because Halliburton has been playing better than honestly both of them under the radar right now. Mm-hmm. That's even better than Ball. All right, but let me just put it. Ball for me, dynasty formats in order. Ball. Edwards? Halliburton? No.
That's rough.
That's rough. Ball first. I'll just say Halliburton, Edwards. Edwards, the reason why I want to say Edwards at least second is because it seems and feels like he's going to get a lot more minutes soon. That's why I think the opportunity is going to present itself versus Halliburton, where he's going to continue to try to get minutes from Sacramento. But that might change too. So that's where I have them. LT, I'll pass you the ball. What's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, man. As far as minutes are concerned, if they all got 30 plus minutes, man, my list would be Halliburton, Ball, Edwards. If they all got the proper minutes, because of the minutes uncertainty with Halliburton, they're starting to give him minutes now, but you know, it's crowded. It is crowded in that positional rotation over there. Definitely Ball, Halliburton, and Edwards for me. Edwards is great. He hasn't shown me that he has defensive stats just yet. So we need to see what he can do on the defensive side. His field goal percentage, I think it's going to stay low for a while here. He's chucking shots. So,
baby.
What'd you say?
Pump up the volume.
Oh, man. Yeah. Pump up the volume. He's all volume, man. I want to see some treble. You know what I'm saying, Starks? I want to see some treble. I want to see some steals. Maybe he can do some flash with some blocks. Maybe bump up the assist and the rebound rate just a teeny bit. But, hey, listen, we know he's just a rookie, but these stats are good. But that's all I have for these three guys, man. I'm big on Halliburton. I think they need to get him into that starting lineup right away. Whether they need to push people down and sorry, Rod, get Bagley out of there and put Holmes on Holmes at center. Or if they need to bring Hield off the bench, they need him in that starting lineup. I think that's just what's going to happen. But I was going to pass it to you, Rod. Did you have anything closing remarks on these three guys, man?
I'm high on all three of these rookies. Mm-hmm. I had to rank them. I would probably, like I said, Ball, Edwards, Halliburton. And even though I know Halliburton's doing good, but I think when it's all said and done, I think they'll probably fall in that order. So okay. That's my hope.
Yeah, Halliburton's like fantasy wise, Halliburton is obviously up top there, but as far as potential, you got to give it the ball and maybe Edwards there. But yeah, that's all I got, Stark. So I'll kick it over to you for our final shots there.
Yep. So we can go ahead and get to the clutch shots. I'll try to go heavy ISO on the touch up on things, on some trends that I want to touch on. For some players that I would say just probably can highlight on real quick, and I thought I had it. Patrick Williams had a nice game finally. I think he had a career high 20 points in Chicago. That, you know, I've heard rumors of him, not rumors, I've heard little whispers that he's like a Kawhi light. So that's something to get excited about. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll be him at all, but it's good to see the type of game that he had previously. Another player that I will mention that needs to probably be picked up, available on waiver wires, is what LT actually just picked up, is Toscano Anderson from Golden State. He's a good pickup for next week, especially with James the Wiseman being out for a little while. So, you know, it's not the prettiest name, but it's about production, right? So that's something to take in consideration in the waiver wire. If you haven't picked up Theo Maledon hooked on Phonics here, you just pick him up because he's probably going to run away with the starting job in OKC, especially with our boy Kyrie sort of out. I think it's mentioned he's going to be out for a few weeks, but to be quite honest, he's probably lost his job and he's might be traded. Okay, let's just be honest. They're essentially a wasteland team. But Amadou Diallo, if he's available in redraft format, deep leagues, he's someone to consider to pick up too because of SGA. Listen, wasteland teams, you always want to have your eyes strictly on them because it's the next man up. And Kendrick Williams, I haven't felt like I could say for a while, but he's also a potential pickup from OKC because he's also starting because of against Dort being out. A player that I also want to just mention, well, actually, real quick, Theo Maledon hooked on Phoenix has been within those four games giving you top 50 value. So that's nothing to ignore. But another guy I want to talk about, You think it's Jason Tatum. No, just kidding. Jason Tate from the Houston Rockets, man. Listen, he's been playing well under the sun. A guard that's been giving one set that should not be happening. Averaging a three, a steal, and a block, shooting a solid percentage at 67%. Perfect at the chair right within four games. Is that going to be sustainable? Oh, no, it's not. Not at all. But obviously, with Christian Wood being out, the usage rate is going to be explored throughout the whole Houston offense. And I know we know that Boogie's going to be the person that's going to benefit from Wood being out. But honestly, let's just be honest, Boogie is probably not going to play the full 30-plus minutes every game. I would be surprised if he did that. But that's something to look at. And there's someone else I wanted to talk about. But probably – oh, yeah, Kevin Durant – for the COVID protocol, it looks like there's a quick report that for the COVID tracing, it looks like he's going to be out multiple games. So that's a tough blow for fantasy GMs, including myself. But, hey, that is what we are in. And I'll pass you the ball, Rod. Do you have a clutch shot at all, my brother? And if you don't, Rod, because it looks like you're struggling there. LT, do you have a clutch shot? Rod's ready. Go ahead. You got a clutch shot, Rod?
Okay. Now, I know we're live. Clutch shot. Is that just like a final take?
Final take on anything you want, my friend.
On anything I want. Okay. Yes, actually. I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and say my take is that it's not necessarily fantasy directly related to fantasy basketball, but just the NBA at large. I would just say that I am just completely shocked and surprised that the Washington Wizards are playing so poorly. That I did, especially being in the East, I didn't expect them to be, 5-14. I would say that along with Dallas, as of up to now, they're probably my two, most disappointing teams, thus far. And but I'm gonna go ahead and just put a hot take out there. a hot take, and my hot take out there is just that I'm going to say it right here. That my team will make the playoffs. I know they're expanding it a little bit, have some play-in, but right here, my clutch shot, New York Knicks, will slide into the playoffs. It may be the play-in round, but New York Knicks with Tibbs leading the team, with Randall having a breakout year, Knicks playoffs, my clutch shot.
Okay. All right. Well, that happened. I haven't heard a Knicks guarantee, playoff guarantee, since I was a young whippersnapper. But yeah, I had a question for you actually, Rod, on the Knicks, man. Hold on.
Go ahead, LT, and look it up. Rod, you probably need to be benched after this episode, my friend. You'll probably be gone for a little while, man. So if you guys don't hear his voice, I apologize. No, I don't. They are tied in eighth
right now. So yeah, like, they are.
No. Did you got what you needed, LT?
Yeah, I do. So
another young player is another young player that's playing great is Quickly.
I was about to say that's gonna be my question. That was gonna be my question, Rod, actually.
So that's playing great. And unlike years past, there are some bright spots and some things we can point at and pull away from, you know, how the Knicks are playing. Now, obviously, if they get into the playoffs, they'll be just squeaking in, but there are some bright spots, unlike years past, that we can point to. So there are some points of optimism with the Knicks. So, but any sign of daylight with the Knicks, I'm going for it.
I was going to ask you, man, do you think it's time, Peyton or Quickly, man?
Quickly.
I think it's time. You know, it's tough though. The coach over there, he don't really play. Our guy doesn't really play rookies, man. So if Quickly can, I hope Quickly can get it in. But yeah, I agree. I think Quickly should be in that starting lineup, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if we're ranking the rook, like we say, those three rookies that we named previously are at the top. Like, what is Quickly four? He's probably four. Like, he's been playing great. You know,
he's definitely been
playing great this year. But yeah, I think this is the year. Like, this should be the changing of the guard. Like, if you can play, you can play. And Quickly needs to be out there just as much as any of the other players that we mentioned. He needs to be out there for his team. So, but yeah, but it's my clutch shot.
Yeah. Before you get your clutch shot, LT, I just want to say you're going to be prepared to get your dad jokes out, because I'm sure that you wanted the New York Knicks to go ahead and start him quickly. So get your dad jokes ready. They're right. So, LT, I will pass you the ball for your clutch shot, man. But what did you want to say?
My clutch shot is, hey Toronto, what are you doing? What are you doing, Bobby? Chris Boucher, what are you doing? Why did all of a sudden Aaron Baines? Does he know where the, you know, does he does he know the, yeah, exactly, Starks, you're toast for that. But anyways, Aaron Baines, does he know where the bodies are at, huh? And which trunk? Because all of a sudden he came back and you're giving him all these minutes, and Bobby Boucher took a hit, 13, 14, 18, 19 minutes. That's not enough. He was destroying with the proper amount of minutes allocations. Look at these numbers earlier on, just early mid-January's, 31 minutes, 28 minutes, 21 and 10, 20 and 9, 3 blocks, 2 blocks. Why? What happened? Did something happen did he get an injury? No, because he's still playing, right? He's still playing, right? So what's going on? Put Chris Boucher into the game. Get him starting, give him 30 plus minutes a night, and win more games. That's it. That's your recipe, man. And that's all I got.
Hey, that's real. They cut your boy. And I'll give this kind of transitions to a quick shout out, additional clutch shot to your boy, Alex Len. I think he had a really good game here, unless you already dropped him.
Five blocks. Oh, no, I still have him. 5 blocks. Yeah, I got all of the five blocks last night.
Let me ask you this real quick, LT. What do you do with Alex Len, man? After that game, it feels good, but I know you've been, like, stressing having him on your team.
I don't know what the Wizards are doing at all. So I don't, if they don't know, I don't know. Cause some nights it's Wagner, you know, Moritz Wagner comes out to play, man. And then sometimes, you know, Lopez, man, he's over here telling jokes. I don't know, man. I think Alex Lynn has the best chance to kind of come out from all those guys, but I don't think the Wizards know, man. And I to be honest with you, I don't care. Just play him 15, 20 minutes a game. I just need a center that can move, to be honest. That can actually just move. So, but yeah, it's a little frustrating because he came out, he did good a couple games, and then Wagner was getting, they didn't play him because of Wagner, and then Lopez, and it's weird, but. You just had to hold for now and hopefully he etches out a nice little solid role there.
All right. Well, listeners, we thank you so much for tuning in. I also say Lynn has played the last two games 20 plus minutes a game. So if you're in deep formats, it might be a headache, but he's worth rostering on your team, especially if you're desperate like LT to have bigs on your team. That's probably why he still held on to him, was patient, because some other games. Go ahead.
No, I was, it's bad.
So you guys can follow me on my Twitter handle. It's @Starks_industry. Ask me any questions, and I'll do the best I can to get you at a prompt time. You can also find me on Instagram, GChristFollower_. I share most of the faith on there, but if you want to talk on the faith level, that's where my heart is for God first. So absolutely know that the door is open for that. I'll pass you the ball. Where can they find you out there, Rob?
You can find me on Instagram, rod.dye, rod.dye. And, Facebook, rod.dye. Don't have Twitter. But, yeah, thanks for having me, fellas.
And you won't have a championship this year. And, LT, I will pass you the ball, man. Where can I find you at?
Yo, y'all can find me. Y'all can find me on Twitter.
Man, hold on. Yeah, I just got dirty and cut. I asked LT a question and just like stole the ball from him. Hey, Rod, man, I think you're hovering around last place. Now I'm going to give it to you real quick. Are you going to make the playoffs? That's what I need to know. Are you going to be a man, grab the ball and put it in the basket? Because you said you're about to take this thing when you drafted. And I'm going to ask you as a man, are you going to make the playoffs this year, man?
Absolutely. There's a lot of basketball left to be played, and you know, who knows how it's going to play out. You know, who knows how things are going to play out. You know, as of right now, see, you guys are laughing now, but I start moving up the rankings. You know, the season doesn't end now. You know, if it was a 25 game season, I'd be worried. But, you know, we got 72 games total, and I'm just looking at that, man.
Man, I'm going to tell you, you're right, but you're wrong, because you're not going to make the playoffs, man. And I'll tell you, no, I'm just kidding. You got a chance. I'll probably mess around and not make the playoffs while I'm talking smack. This is a rough year. LT, where can I find you at there, brother?
You can find me at third place in this league for now. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. Or am I? You can find me on Twitter at @SageNetwork_. Ask me any questions about gaming, about fantasy basketball. That's it. Don't ask me any questions about fantasy baseball because I don't know. But fantasy basketball. just hit me up. I have any questions, and I hope hopefully you guys have a successful fantasy week. Big ups to you guys over there, our listeners. We love you guys.
All right, listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. With that being said, have a good evening, morning, afternoon. Take a ride.